Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of In Theo Radio, where we talk about shamanism, psychedelics, and alternative forms of healing. This is your captain speaking, Captain Hugh T. Alchemy, and I'm here with a very special guest, and as always, our shows are live, so we do welcome callers. The caller hotline, the switchboard number, if you'd like to ask a question to myself or our very special guest, is 347-855-8334. Once again, that number is 347-855-8334. So this episode is entitled Forensic Astrology and Everyday Applications. I bet you, if you are listening, you are probably one of the 95% of people out there that really don't know too much about astrology and probably didn't even know that astrology could be used in a way of forensic science. So I'm here with my very dear friend, mentor, and book author, David Campbell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dave is a professional astrologer, certified through the American Federation of Astrologers, and he's the vice president of the American Federation of Astrologers. He's also the president of the ASTSIG, Asteroid Special Interest Group, and does research into asteroids in astrology. He also owns the Astrology Store of Glendale, Arizona. Dave is a certified research medium through the Windbridge Institute, WCRM, and you can reach him at theastrologystore.com or theastrologystore@gmail.com. Dave, I'm so excited about this episode. I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm glad to be here.
And, you know, you did a really great job on the radio this week in local Phoenix. Mother's show, was it?
Yes. Yeah, it was good. And I'll be back on next week also.
Excellent. Oh, they liked you that much, huh?
Yeah, they're having me back. So that's really a good plus.
Yeah. So I was listening to that show, and I got so excited about the things you were saying. And I called the AFA, and I talked to the co-author of your book, Chris, and I told her where she could listen, where she could listen to the show, and hopefully she got to listen to the show.
Oh, good, good. Very good.
So, David, what is the weather like today? I mean, I know we are on Earth so concerned with meteorology, and you might be more concerned with the stars from a weather standpoint. Maybe you could talk a little bit to begin with about what's going on astrologically in the sky for today, the next couple days, or just what's the happenings.
Okay. Well, one thing that's really important right now going on is Venus is retrograde, and that means that it appears to be going backwards in the sky. And so what that means for us on Earth is that because Venus is the goddess of love and relationships, and it also covers what we value. And it even deals with money. So the first thing that everybody's going to be going through collectively is reevaluating their relationships on a big scale. Mm. So it's not just one or two people. It's quite a few people, especially people who are Leos, because it's in Leo. And any sign connected to Leo, such as Aquarius is opposing Leo, Scorpio squares it, Taurus squares it. Those are the four major ones that are going to be hit directly. But everybody is to an extent. And if this Venus is in your chart, it's at 19 degrees now. So if it's doing anything in your chart around 19 degrees, Leo, then you will be affected by this, where you're reevaluating relationships and your money situation, what you value, even things that you own or have, what do you want to do with them? And it's time to, as far as relationships go, even a lot of old flames might be coming back into your life. That happens quite often because there might be some unfinished business from the past. And so sometimes we just need to give that closure. Sometimes that means rekindling. And other effects can be that sometimes we just need to get rid of the relationships that have been going on way too long and they've been dead for a long time. It's time to kind of think that and see where we can go from there so we can move forward when Venus goes direct, which will be in September 4th of this year. And it started in July, around July 24th of this year. So
now, does the Venus have a storm period afterwards where it's stationed and stuff?
Yeah, it stations for about 3 or 4 days after. It stations at 14 Leo this year. So, and it's really funny. It lasts 40 days and 40 nights. So I'm sure you've heard that kind of symbology before.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a time where you don't want to buy big luxury items or start a brand new relationship. It's not good because it's kind of like when Mercury is retrograde. You don't want to purchase something that's, you know, Mercury related, and because you might regret it, or you might not, you know, it might lose value, or you might find that you lost your job the next day or something and can't pay for it. So it's not a good decision to make, like, buying high-end items right now until after this is over or starting a brand-new relationship. It's time to reflect on your values and your wants and your needs and to look at yourself, too. Because remember, like, the Venus symbol, the glyph, it looks like a mirror. And so you can use that as a reflection of yourself and kind of review what you really want in life and your value. So it's a
great way of remembering it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way of remembering the symbol and giving you more information. Also, Venus could be vanity, you know, looking at the mirror all the time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm concerned because I was born in a Mercury retrograde. That's coming up, and all my friends basically take a major hit. I tend to have a little bit of difficulty in the storm period, but I'm really excited during the retrograde because it seems like business goes well for me. Is that true? Is it coming up?
Yeah, I find that people that... Did you say you were born with a retrograde? Mercury?
Yeah, my Mercury's retrograde in Leo.
A lot of people feel like when it's retrograde, it's natural for them, so it doesn't bother them like it does the rest of us. But yeah, it is coming up real soon in September, around the 17th.
Okay.
We're already, if you do the shadow period, we're already in that shadow period, precursor to the actual retrograde. So that's coming up.
Cool.
Yeah. And
good for me, not necessarily for everybody else.
Right. Yeah, and right now Uranus is in Aries, which has been there for a while. That's why there's so much upheaval. And it means to stand up for your rights and stand up for your freedoms. And so you can see that that's what's going on in the world today, because we are supposed to kind of revolt and not through violence, but through, you know, standing up for and asserting ourselves when Uranus is in Aries to get our independence and to reclaim our freedoms and liberties that we should be born with. So this has gotten better than it has in the last year and a half when Pluto was squaring Uranus. That's when there was more violence and rough, a little bit of harder things going on. So it's gotten a lot better than it has, but it's definitely, this is a revolutionary time in history for a lot of the rights, like gay rights just, you know, made a huge swing, and it's not going to stop until it's, you know, worldwide and a little more accepted than it is even now. But it's huge as far as the growth that's happened in the last, you know, couple of years regarding that. So that's just one example that I'm pulled out.
Cool.
That makes sense. And then we have, very shortly, right now Saturn's retrograde, and it's in the last degrees of Scorpio. And have you noticed, like, sex scandals coming out?
Yeah, with
Like
Bill Cosby.
Cosby, Jared, the Subway.
Oh,
Subway guy.
Man.
Yeah, that's Saturn and Scorpio. Saturn is law and karma, and Scorpio is secrets and sex and hidden stuff. And so it's during its retrograde, it had its final hurrah, and it's trying to expose those that needed to be exposed for those things. So very shortly, though, it's going to go into Sagittarius again. And that's where we'll experience, you know, you'll see, like, laws changing a little bit. Maybe more stricter college things going on, things around college with the law or new rules, new regulations, which has already been in the news previously. It's time to reevaluate our belief systems and our beliefs in our philosophy of life or our religion. And maybe even the law might be challenged a lot to make sure that we are balanced in getting our freedoms as well. Tuition for college will probably be changing and going through some restructuring too, which probably will be good because it might lower the tuition, actually. Yeah, because Saturn restricts things. So it might restrict that limitation on religion, or it'll, at least it'll bring it to the forefront so we can address it and see what we can do about it. And even there's been a lot of talk about taxing churches. Now, that's a perfect example of Saturn going into Sagittarius. Sagittarius is about religion, philosophies, belief systems. And Saturn is about, could be about taxation and about structures and strictures and, you know, penalties and the law. So I thought that's interesting that as we're just entering Saturn into Sag, I see more and more of that posts on Facebook and different media. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
You know, I heard that for the first time, the Pope, who is, you know, and the first time in the history of popes in the Catholic Church, the Catholic tradition, he's going to speak at a world finance conference in September around the 22nd or the 23rd. I think it was in Washington or New York or something in the U.S.
Wow.
And I was like, that's kind of historical and different. And I know I don't really like to follow Alex Jones, but it was on his website, so I might as well say his name. There was something about finances shifting drastically, and they mentioned the Pope's address in the world economic system. I was just like, hey, are they unifying through the money? Because it seems to me, I know this is a bit off topic for forensic astrology, but it seems to me like we've always had sort of a in God we trust on our money, and the new world order on our money in Latin. And so maybe this is like the event that shifts the economic structure into either the Catholic hands or the religious hands, or it unifies church and state in some way. And I was wondering if you've seen anything like that when you're looking at the patterns that you just described.
Well, that could very well certainly be part of that too. I haven't really thought of that, you know, that specifically, but I think that is a very good analogy, and it could very well be a good prediction or a good thing that would come out of this. I could see that happening.
Yeah, and then, oh, it's the first day of autumn that day, and Yom Kippur. Interesting choice of dates.
Right.
Well, Dave, how long have you been doing astrology, and how did you come into this?
I started really young. Even when it was sun sign astrology, it was what I started with, as most of us did. In grade school, I knew my sign very well, and always had an interest in it and would read about my signs and my sisters and, you know, family. And around 12, I think I read the sun sign book by, I can't remember her name all of a sudden, it's been around forever, and Linda Goodman's sun sign book.
And yeah, Linda Goodman, yeah.
It was just shocking at how much it fit my personality and my sisters and friends and stuff. And then around 14, I got into tarot cards. And in studying tarot, a lot of the cards referred to, like the meanings was like, this is a Mars-type person or an Aries-type person. And I would be like, well, what is that? So I'd go to astrology to look up. So it just kept referring back to astrology. And then I even studied palmistry, which said this is your Mars line, your Saturn finger, your Jupiter finger, mm-hmm. you know. So I went, well, that's astrology too, so let me go to astrology. And then everything kept going back to astrology, so I just studied astrology since I was about 14, 15. And then got more serious about 20, 21, when I started taking formal classes and started, like, getting my first ephemeris and knowing what a rising sign is. So it's been quite a while, about 30 years to say, you know,
nice.
A little more precisely. And I've studied it extensively.
So what makes a young kid growing up in Utah, because you mentioned you were on the Mother Show, mentioned you were growing up Mormon, what makes someone like you want to study all those things? There's obviously not an influence in the family, was there?
I think there is. There was a family.
Really?
Because my mother was very interested in psychic phenomena and ESP. And ever since I was as long as I can remember, I've been interested in anything hidden or mysterious and wanting to know more. And I think that's because I knew there was more to it. And there wasn't an outlet in Utah for it. So the only thing I had was scary shows or dark shadows. Because I knew there was something, even though I think that's fiction and, you know, realize the difference, but there is something to what's hidden and what's the other side. They had ghosts. They had, you know, all this other stuff going on. And so it intrigued me, and I was fascinated by that. And so that's kind of where the interest was there all along. Does that make sense? And then I think my dad got my mom tarot cards when I was about 12, and I thought, well, that's intriguing. So then I started taking over the cards and playing with them around 13. And I remember when I first spread out my first tarot spread, I started hearing voices, and I got really kind of scared and put them together and put them in the box because I was it was shocking. So I've had a real strong connection to that kind of stuff ever since. And I learned to develop my psychic abilities at a very young age, too. It was very encouraged. Around 7 or 8, I was taken to a hypnotherapist to improve my attention span and my grades. And through the hypnotherapy and reprogramming your mind, I also learned how to do ESP stuff, which was the buzzword back in the 70s. About extrasensory perception and learning to find missing objects or, you know, learn to develop your psychic abilities. And so I learned how to meditate at age 7 or 8, and that's where it really started. So
that's a really cool, amazing story, and it sounds a little bit similar to one I had growing up. My mother received some tarot cards, and I was a teenager, and I started studying shortly thereafter. I don't think she ever went to the extent of really studying it a lot, but it was a familial influence. The tarot came through my mother, and that's what stimulated me to study those, because I had already studied palmistry or about the same period, and I was also poking around with hypnosis and the new brainwave technology. They were coming out with the binaural beats where you listen and meditate.
Right.
Because I mean, you were so lucky. You probably didn't have in your generation the drugs for the mind, for focus. I was on those lovely drugs for the mind. I was looking for ways out. So,
right.
Hypnosis would have been a much healthier option, I think.
I think it should be definitely used much more than it is, especially you can't get hurt from it, and it's kids that you could really help pay attention to things. What if they would have given me drugs when I didn't need them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it really helped. I started getting straight A's and retaining the information I was learning through the teachers, through when they lectured and spoke. So I didn't have to ask 20 times, you know, what the instructions were. So hypnosis helped me a lot. And then I became a certified hypnotherapist later on in my 20s also.
Wow.
Because I had used it so much, and so I still use hypnosis quite a bit for clients whenever I need to. And then forensic astrology came about because my teacher at the time for astrology was very fascinated. She always gave us mystery charts and crime charts to solve. She would give us a scenario and, you know, give us a victim and then maybe three suspects charts, and we had to figure them out. And so I thought, wow, can we really do this? And so I tried it and was very successful at doing it. And then she even brought in a district attorney who had some cases. He would give us the basic, very basic information, give us the birth date and locations and everything, and then ask us questions what we could see from the chart. And he was astounded by what, you know, the students could reveal that, you know, nobody should know. And so that's what really got me intrigued into the forensic side of astrology. Forensic meaning like crime solving and looking at the small, very small details for the purpose of solving a crime or a mystery. And so that's what sparked me to do forensic astrology. And using the different methods that I learned from doing these in class, I knew different methods that worked. And so I started developing, you know, ways of doing things. So you can use, forensic astrology can be used for so many different things, like profiling the criminals. It can be used for pinpointing suspects or eliminating a suspect. It can be used for locating a missing person or finding the motive and seeing who is involved, if there is one or more than one. And to tell if maybe it was a suicide or a murder or an accident. You can look at the event chart, which is the time and place, date, time, and place of the event, the crime. And I call that a crime scene chart. So you can get tons of clues from that alone. And then if you do have the birth data of the people involved, then that really helps much, much more. And you can also use several different techniques for different purposes. So I use horary also to help find people, or if there's a specific question I need answered. So I'll use horary as well, but that's just like a fraction of the different techniques I use. I usually use their natal charts and transits and progressions and directions. I use midpoints quite a bit and asteroids.
Dave, tell us the relationship to the planets and the houses, and how you would use forensic astrology to delineate things. I know, and the term is rulership over things in the mundane world, but maybe you can just for our audience explain like some of the planets and what they relate to in the real world, and maybe the houses too.
Okay, well. The planets tell you, like, who is involved. They tell you the people and describe the people that were involved with the planets. The signs gives you the attitude, the behavior, the outlook, or the motive. So the houses tell you the event area, the places. The houses relate to the atmosphere or department, or describes the scene that was going on and what area of life they're in. So like the moon is like the hour of the event. So the moon is very critical because it just gives a lot about the exact timing of things. The sun is like the day of an event. And the angles, like the ascendant and midheaven, those are the like minute hands, basically. They're the moment of the event. And aspects are talked to you about what kind of actions were taken. Was it, you know, nice and harmonious, or was it very friction and opposition? That kind of thing. So.
Interesting. I want to encourage people to take a look at your book, Forensic Astrology, on Amazon, or you can probably find it on your website, theastrologystore.com.
Yeah,
you can preview the book.
And you can go into the section, which is a few pages in, under Forensic Astrology, the chapter one on tools. And some of the things Dave is talking about right now, if you're a listener, is right in this section. I'm checking it out right now. And it looks like you didn't really mention this yet, but like Mars is anger and violence, and Pluto, for
right.
example, is kidnapping, murder, and rape. That's
right.
interesting.
Right. Yeah,
how did you come up? How did all this come about? Like when we read horoscopes, we never find out about this information.
Right. It's just a different part of the planet's expression. It's something I didn't make this up or name them. It's been there. It's just something you probably need to dig deeper to find. Like the moon is definitely females and it rules over emotions. And Venus would describe women in the chart. Mars is definitely the anger, the violence, cruelty, mm-hmm. murder, and sexual attraction. And then Pluto can be kidnapping. Pluto in mythology was Hades, who was the first kidnapper. There you go with that meaning. Uranus is about sudden events, accidents, out of the ordinary, or explosions that, you know. And then I also use asteroids, very many of them, and they can relate to very specific things. Like one that was really interesting is the asteroid BAM, like explosion type asteroid. It does relate to things that go BAM, that go explode, or like, even a gunshot could be a BAM. Bombings are a BAM type event from that asteroid, and it works in the charts. I've tested it, and it really works. One that's really often seen in violent charts is Toro, which is, in forensic, it's like brutality, rage, violence, and very aggressive.
Mm.
So it's also like, means bull in Spanish, so, but it's
mm-hmm.
not the calm Ferdinand-type bull from Taurus, it's the raging, you know, bully type bull that you would see. And it shows up in a lot of charts of businessmen or athletes that are very aggressive, like football players might have Toro, but they're using it in a positive way. They're using it
right.
in their sport, and they're using it as a good, you know, aggressive way, an assertive, positive way. If it's not contained or dealt with, it could turn to anger and violence. So it's interesting to see. Like, for instance, O.J. Simpson has Toro conjunct his ascendant. So he uses it both ways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Wow, very cool example.
Right. You can also use fixed stars, which I do use also. Not as extensively as the asteroids, but I do use them. The most famous one is Algol, Caput Algol, which is a very violent fixed star, murder, violence, decapitations, strangulations, fires. It's usually very active in all those kind of charts.
And it says in your book it's in the Taurus constellation.
Yes, it's in the sign Taurus, so it's 25, 26 Taurus.
Interesting.
The degrees of that.
This is a really deep science, David, and I think I'm starting to feel mystified. So let's pull just a little bit back the
okay.
focus, and
right.
and we'll break it up a little bit. And I'm going to encourage you to say where people can contact you, and then I'll let
okay.
a caller come in and do a reading.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, you can contact me. The easiest way is theastrologystore.com. That way you can see everything we offer at the Astrology Store. And the prices of my readings, my bio, and you can get the phone number or you can email theastrologystore@gmail.com. And we can go from there. I'm also a teacher. I teach a lot of people astrology in the Valley and have a lot of good students. So.
And you should take his class. I'm in his class. He's an excellent teacher.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So, we did have a caller. Did you want to go to a caller?
Yeah. Trish, are you with us?
I am.
Okay. So, let me just pull up your chart again.
Let's say your birthday, just so you don't have to say like any details, but maybe whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
Sure. You can say whatever you want. Do you need the numbers again?
No, I got.
No,
it.
I want the listeners to hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, September 18, 1960.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
So let's see. That gives you your rising sign is Gemini. So you need to look about. Your sun sign is Virgo. That's who you are on the inside. And you have a lot of planets in Virgo. So you have the moon in Virgo as well. But your rising sign is Gemini. So that tells me that your partner in, like, marriage needs to be somebody who's more like a Sagittarius, your opposite. It doesn't have to be a Sag. But what you're looking for in a relationship is, A, freedom, and somebody who has big aspirations in life and wants freedom, maybe their belief system. It could be whether they're philosophical. You also have Jupiter in the house of marriage, so that's a double. Whatever I'm saying is double. And are you currently in a relationship? Because you said you wanted relationship information, but did you want to look at from the perspective,
yeah.
Are you in one? Okay.
So I'm currently, it's so funny you said that, I'm currently dating a Sagittarius, but we're having some difficulties, and I just was looking for some insight whether we're going to get through this or not.
Well, you are going to go through a testing period. So it is a good, Sag is a good sign for you as far as the Gemini side of you goes. It's your polar opposite, so you're going to be very opposites in a lot of ways. And the Virgo part, that's a challenging aspect for between Virgo and Sag. It's kind of a difficult situation. It doesn't mean you're going to not get along or not stay together. It just means there's a lot of, Virgos are very, want rules and planning, and Sag doesn't do any of that. They like to just shoot from the hip and go forward. And but what I see is Saturn eventually, in the next year and a half, is going to go into your seventh house, which is going to be a big testing period for the relationship. And that's where it's make it or break it. So I feel like you're going to, I'm not seeing like divorce signs or anything strong enough in your chart right now. I see more growth and good luck signs coming up. So I feel like, without seeing his chart and comparing the two, to be more specific, I don't feel bad about this. I feel like you'll probably make through. You'll probably go through with the relationship.
Okay. Well, we're currently in a break, which is why I asked. I didn't know how the break was going to get resolved.
Right. And the questions that you should ask yourself, because when Saturn comes up and hits you, it's going to ask, like, are you still growing in the relationship? Do you feel like there's growth or you're allowed to grow? If the answer is no, then the answer is totally no. You shouldn't stick with it. Because you do have other opportunities coming up, too, for other people to come in. So I would definitely look at the options. If you have other dates, I wouldn't turn them down.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And so I'm curious, how do you weave the astrology in with the mediumship?
I don't. There are two different things. I am a psychic and a medium. They're two different things. A medium is talking to dead people. I don't put those two together. I do it separately. When I do a mediumship reading, I'm strictly just doing talking to the dead people. What I do sometimes with my charts, I do, the psychic stuff starts to come in as well. I start seeing things from your chart or tuning into your soul, and I'll start getting strong feelings of which way things are going to go for you. So they do go hand in hand that way. And you do have a really good period. This next year and a half, 2 years, is going to be really strong growth for you. So that's in all levels, like relationships and career coming up. So definitely keep positive.
Okay. Well, that's great news, because I have a major building project going on, and that was actually something that was stressing me out.
You know, it's going to be really successful, I feel like.
Ooh.
Yeah. I feel like it's really much more than you think. You like a challenge, too. You get bored if there's not a lot to do. So you like that challenge. And you do have a lot. Your life has been restructured the past 3 years. Is that true?
It has. That is definitely true.
Yeah. And not so easy. It wasn't always easy, I can see. It was pretty tough. So,
where are you calling from, Trish?
I'm calling from Rhode Island.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and did you have about two and a half years ago, was there a passing, like a death?
Two and a half years ago, the death of one of my jobs, I lost my job.
Career. That's where it was a major, big change for you. And it was definitely meant to be. Pluto was hitting your Saturn, which means death of something. Like, Saturn does rule careers and jobs, so yeah, that would work. But it was very meant to be, and you were, since it's over, you're supposed to go through that. Because you're on a new path, aren't you now?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, completely different, yeah. Well, that was good, because I don't think you would have done it on your own without a little push.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very comfortable place to be.
Yeah. And sometimes the universe says, oh, we're going to have to do something drastic to fix that. Get back into life. Okay?
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much. This was really helpful.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks for being on our show. Stay listening.
Okay. All right.
David.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Crossing Over with Captain Hugh and Dave Campbell. Hey, I have a quick question. It's a little bit off and on topic at the same time. It might be off topic for you, but it's definitely on topic for our listeners and for the show.
Okay.
What do you think about the astrological influences that rule over drugs, psychedelics, the psychedelic drugs, and then some of the more street drugs related to chemicals and stuff like that? I mean, Are they all falling under one planet, one house, or are they different planets? What causes
most, almost all drugs are under the rulership of Neptune, and so that would be natural and or chemical. It doesn't. It's all the same, really. It comes from Neptune, which is the planet that rules over drugs, alcohol, gases, fumes, but it also alternate realities and higher consciousness, mm-hmm. or, you know, ghosts and spirits. It rules over those as well. And creativity and your right brain. But since Neptune is in its own sign, it's in the sign of Pisces, drugs have been changed so drastically over the past couple of years since it's been in Pisces. Things are getting stronger, mm-hmm. more accurate, more... I mean, there's a pill for everything now. I mean, you know, things that we never would have thought of 20 years ago, there's a pill for, or a drug that can, you know. So I think there's different plants that are ruled by different planets. But overall, if they're like a psychotropic drug or a hallucinogen, that would go under Neptune's realm. Like marijuana would be a Neptune drug. A Neptune-ruled plant.
Yeah, I would really love to see what the charts in astrology relating to maybe like the discovery of LSD and Albert Hofmann's birth chart and all those things have in common, because I thought that would be an interesting study. You know, like when we pass laws on, or even when the president makes a speech on marijuana, and he says, like, we're going to leave the local federal or the local, was it statewide laws alone, and we're going to, you know, he did that speech a while back, and I was wondering what his transits were, what was going through his birth chart and its relationship to what he had to say in that
speech. I'm sure that happens a lot where he talks about something and there's either an asteroid or an aspect coding the way he's talking and what he's talking about.
And you're talking about Obama?
Yeah, Obama made a speech a while back, and I don't remember the date, but
yeah,
it might be an interesting study.
It would be an interesting study. I'd have to get the exact dates and see. Because there's even asteroids relating to, like, alcohol or intoxication. You know, there's even an asteroid beer. So, I mean, that's very specific to beer. But there's also, like, Dionysius or Bacchus relate to drunkenness and partying and that kind of stuff. So, not specific to a plant, but, you know, they're out there. And there's an asteroid, Soma. Maybe even more of a drug in a sense.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of asteroids that relate to that kind of...
You know, Trish, our caller, was interested in the mediumship, and I've been interested in ghosts, spirits, and other worlds for a long time. And it may relate to some of the 12th house stuff I have going on, because I have a couple planets there, and, you know, and I'm just generally interested in this stuff, is why I have this show. Maybe you could enlighten us to some of the stories that you have, experiences that you've been through, with ghosts and or other worlds, other beings that are not necessarily in the physical bodies.
Right. Let's see. Yeah. I've had a lot of different ghost stories.
Don't scare us, Dave.
I've had like one ghost hunt when we were asked by two police officers who were hired as security to watch a building. They said they were having a lot of weird experiences. So when a police officer calls and says this, it's kind of like you pay attention. So I went out with my team, and upon touring the building, I started getting names and feelings. And I said the name of the person that I was getting. And they looked at me weird, like, well, are you sure it's not? Because I got the word Bessie Smith, exact words. And they said, is it another Smith? And I said, no, she said her name is Bessie Smith. So they went, okay, whatever. Well, about an hour later, we got down to the library part of the building, and there's a big poster up that has a lady, and it says, the daughter of Bessie Smith. So right under it. And they didn't even know that. And I didn't know it. I'd never been in the building. So it was kind of a validation right there that I got the exact name of a person. But I don't usually get a lot of scary stuff. I've done a lot of ghost investigations. I've had some spirits follow me home. One that was kind of unnerving was a little girl who I did a medium reading for somebody the night before and said that they had a ghost in their house, and they did say yes. And it was a little girl, they said yes. And I said, she breaks stuff. And they said, yeah, she does all the time. And so the next morning, I was awoken by this huge shattering glass sound, and I thought somebody broke in. So I go in the kitchen and find a big wine bottle on the floor shattered. There's no way it could have just flown out of the... It was tilted so it wouldn't fall in a wine carrier on the top shelf, like above the kitchen, or high up in the kitchen. There's just no way it could have leaped clear over in the middle of the floor, and, you know... And so it was her. So I just told her she had to go, and that was the last I ever saw of her. But sometimes things like that happen where they can follow you. But I do medium readings almost every day, too, so I get lots of astonishing stories as validations from people.
That is interesting.
And when I do
and very peculiar.
When I do my forensic stuff, like the astrology, that gives me a lot of the clues and insights in the people, and I start getting psychic hits from it. But also I can pull in sometimes the spirit will come to me and talk to me. For instance, I got a good one that when they were looking for Jack Colelius in Tempe, he was the guy that was missing a couple years ago from Tempe. He was partying and nobody could find him. Do you remember the story?
I don't remember, but
okay.
Go on.
Well, it was about 2 years ago, I think. And so we were put on the case. It's the Find Me group that I belong to help find missing people. And so I did his chart. I had his time of birth and everything. And I could see, you know, what was going on. I could see that he had passed. Even in his chart, I can tell he had passed. And then I do several different types of readings when I'm doing this. I do just psychic alone. I do tarot. I do astrology. And then all of a sudden, he came into my living room and started talking to me while I was doing his reading and meditating on him. And he told me that he did it himself. It was his fault that he died, that he walked through the river. He thought he could do anything. He was very angry and hostile, and he was extremely drunk. And to look in the river, that's where he was.
Wow.
And not the river, the lake, I'm sorry. And everybody else thought that he had been hazed or dragged out and taken somewhere. And so they found him in the lake like the next day or 2 days later.
Wow.
So it was a huge validation. So it was using all the different skills I use. I use astrology. It was tarot. It was psychic and medium. And it just all comes together. And the
I'm
astrology
taken aback.
It's amazing. It's quite fun. And that was even put on the news. Liz, I was one of the ones. There was a couple of psychics who in my team that got the lake. And I can't remember who the other two were, but we both had our name listed on the lake where we pinpointed. So that was pretty interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed, David. I am impressed. And so you get these types of readings every day. You get you're basically sharpening your tools every day.
Yeah, it's just like working out. If you don't work out for a while, you have to start over and build up and go through the pains of it again, or you get rusty. So the more you do psychic work, the better you get at it. The more you look at charts, the more you're proficient, the more you do, if you do tarot, the more you do it on a regular basis. It hones those skills in and makes the perfection, you know, gives you the professionalism that you need. And I do charts every day, so, for years. That's my best, it's really a quick way for me to tune into people's energy and see their purpose in life. You can see so much. You can do so many different things with it. Their career aptitude, what their life lessons are, what their karma is, what, you know, spiritually they're supposed to learn, their personality. It's a great timing tool of when things should happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge tool that you can use for many different things.
Could you talk a little bit about thieves and missing objects in charts?
Right. Now, thieves are under the rulership of Mercury. Mercury was the patron saint of thieves. So usually when something's stolen, I look at Mercury transiting and or in their natal and to see what was going on with Mercury. And a lot of times, truthfully, when Mercury's retrograde, there's a huge increase in theft and in fraud and in trickery, and in it gets
wow.
really thick usually when Mercury's retrograde. But there's thieves every day, so you have to look at that too. But I just see an increase. I've noticed, because I'm a retailer too, that, you know, it's usually that during that time where we have the most problems, or where we had a problem, it's during Mercury retrograde. And so missing objects, that's where it falls under. I really like to use horary astrology for missing objects, because that's a great tool, and it works. And it's where, you know, you can use the chart to see clues as to where to look. It sometimes will give you very, you know, easy clues to at least go and look and see where it was, where it can be found. Sometimes, unfortunately, the answer is that it can't be found and that it's gone forever. and that's the answer. And that's, you know, that's even having that is a really good relief to some, to know that, to stop looking and that it's gone and to let it go.
What indicates that in the chart? What factors?
There's several that can happen. Like if it's like maybe in the 12th house, the could be. I mean, this is all it could be. There's got to be a lot of scenarios that say it's, or it's maybe in the 8th house, which is the house of death. Sometimes that means it's dead. It's not coming back. It'll never be found. I've seen cases where I've had to tell people that, to let it go, or that I've determined it was stolen and not just missing from the horary chart. I have a good example of a missing item. Ray's, my partner's mother, was missing her address book, and she'd looked for like 2 weeks trying to find it. Well, then she finally called me because she knew I did this, and so I wrote down the time of the question and looked at the chart, and through the chart, I told her where to look in the house, where to start at, like at the doorway of her entrance to the house, and told her where to go, and she called me back in 10 minutes and had it in hand.
Wow.
So in 10 minutes, she found that she couldn't find in 2 weeks because of me looking at a chart 800 miles away. So it works. I use it all the time. And
so you do this with the cops or the police department?
With the police, yeah, that's when we're through Find Me. We don't do any cases of missing people unless the police ask us to. And we get a case about every week. So it's astonishing. There's about 4,000 missing people a day in the United States. So that's a lot of people. So we could be career doing this, but, you know, we do one a week, and that has to be through the police department, has, and the family has to cooperate and give us the birth info and, you know, all the scenario that they can give us, and then we, you know, each do our thing and then place a report.
Dave, why don't you get a detective's license and then go out and just do forensic astrology?
Oh, I know. I thought about that one time. I even wanted to be a FBI agent or a detective in Phoenix because I wanted to use my skills in that way. Because when I worked in the public in retail, I was really good at just spotting thieves and motives and stuff. And I led to a lot of arresting a lot of people because of that, because of my psychic abilities. So I kind of wanted to do that. But then I really want to help people in a bigger and broader way where I can help give direction in life and more spiritual guidance. And that would just be one part of it, which I think I'd be good at. I don't know if I want to go in Phoenix chasing around people with guns and that kind of stuff. So kind of. And then, you know, the FBI, you have to be, when I figured it out that I was going to be an FBI, I was 36. I found out that year that that's the cutoff. They don't take you after 36, so I couldn't have done it.
Speaking of the FBI, I was just watching the X-Files the other night, and they had, I think it was season one, an episode where a little girl somehow had the ghost or the reincarnation of a murdered police officer in her, and that murder was related to some of the other policemen on the force, and so this little girl would be in the same location as these other policemen were getting sort of strange psychokinetic deaths happening to them, like a ghost was killing these other police officers when the girl was nearby. And I thought that would be an interesting topic to bring up. You could have really been a great addition to the X-Files, made a whole episode or two. Like, you could be one of the lone gunmen, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lone gunmen were those research people that were Mulder's friends?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever watch that show?
I did somewhat. I wasn't too much into it. I just was too busy at the time, I remember. I wasn't watching, but yeah, That would be a fun. Yeah, that was a great.
They are re-releasing it, so maybe you'll be on one of the new episodes coming up.
Yay, that would be fun.
Yeah. Do you, since we're on that topic, do you think that astrology points us in the direction of finding the next incarnation of an individual?
Oh, where you would be in the next life, perhaps?
Yeah, perhaps the date of death and the time of death relates to who you will become or where you will be born.
I have not looked at that. I don't know if that would really be the case. I think your natal chart would give you a lot of things about where you could go next. Like if you learn all your lessons and if you did all the things the way you know, which that would be totally subjective to, I guess, you know, the laws of karma and, you know, what your actions were. If you lived your potential, then you would probably have, I don't know. I know that they do a lot with past lives, with charts, and you can see a lot of past life from your chart, where you came from and what you're going through now is kind of based on your past. So that would be interesting. But you can also reprogram and start programming for your future life now. I do believe that. Whatever you're working on now, you take with you.
Would you think that are you philosophizing that the future is not set, that it's not set even from birth or at the moment that we do a reading and a divination, a tarot card, a psychic reading, that the future is kind of, it's pliable?
I think to a degree, I think it is. I think we have free will, and I think that's to a degree, too. I think we have pre-planned most of this stuff. I really think that the natal chart, it's something we really planned prior to coming here and wanted things to happen at that timing, when the timing was right. And that even the people and places that we wanted to be with, we've kind of prearranged. We always don't have to go through with what, we can always change our mind once we get there, and that's where free will is. And so it can change. But I think that so much is really already set that it just kind of, we flow with it. And that's because of doing astrology for so long. I think there's a kind of, the more I do astrology, the more I think, wow, how much, there's so many specific things that, you know, are in our charts and that happen that I wonder how much is free will and how much is fate. Is it 50-50 or is it a little more? And more astrologers that I know that have done this astrology for a long time are kind of with the same agreement that we think we have much more, much littler free will than we would like to think, even though we all want to think, including myself included, that we have total free will. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I liken that whole process to an image that I think the ancient Greeks and Romans had, where it's the weavers of fate. It's these three women, and they're weaving something that is, you know, in this world, it's like a yarn or a string, and one of them's job is to cut it, one of them's to measure it, one of them's to actually weave it together. And I imagine that string is somewhere attached to me, and it extends from me as a nexus point, like a beadlet of dew on a spider web, and then it extends in front of me and behind me and in all directions. But I can cut that string as well, or I can make it stick to other things as well, even though the weavers of fate have already put it in those other places,
right.
I have an effect on it too, because I'm wiggling like an insect in a spider web.
Right. I think there's a caller on the line that I just got through that I don't know if they have time for a question.
Yeah, let's see.
Just check and see if it is.
Hi, are you a caller interested in a question?
If you're talking to me, that's yes, correct.
Please, give us your name.
Yeah, I'm Steve Tuffel. I'm from Valencia in California. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
So I have a question for you, Dave. I know for a fact that you have Neptune in your 12th house, conjunct to the ascendant.
Yes. Right.
I have Neptune in my 12th house, not conjunct the ascendant like you, but I know that that must be the basis for some of your abilities with psychic abilities. How do you reckon mine with Neptune in 12th? It's a placement of Neptune that I never really quite understood.
I know, it's a very confusing house in the first place. And Neptune being in that house is, it is a very psychic place, and it is very intuitive. And it, and I also have Neptune square my sun, so that creates that challenge of, you know, a lot of different challenges, but it also forces the psychic issue to learn to try.
Mine is in a mystic quadrangle with my sun. I've just explained what it is. Sun is opposite Neptune from Aries to Libra, and then I also have a moon conjunct Jupiter opposite Uranus, and that goes from Sagittarius to Gemini. So that's the mystic quadrangle.
Is Sun opposing Neptune? Is that what you said?
Sorry? The Sun is opposite, opposing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's very challenging, too, as far as... I see that in a lot of psychic charts, too, so I think you have a lot of psychic ability yourself. And
I wish I could develop it. I really do.
I really do believe you can, and you just have to really work on it and go... I even went through formal training in my 20s with a psychic that was local and spent like a year and a half to 2 years with her doing readings and just practicing and doing all kinds of stuff. So the best way to learn is to, well, first of all, read about it, like books, and understand the parameters, and then take a class or find somebody in your local area that you can work with and connect with and trust, and it gets stronger and stronger. And I think astrology is a great, good gateway into developing your intuitiveness too, to trusting what you're getting from the chart. And it's a tuning fork. The chart is like a tuning fork to the soul, so you can kind of really connect with
it.
Wow. Yeah. And that's how...
You know, that is so true what you just said, because that's exactly the way I go about reading a chart. I just find that I'm tuning into it.
Right.
And I mean, in every case, it's about pretty much it's like that. It's never like, oh, gee whiz, this means that, that means... I don't do any cooked approach. I just look at the chart, and I find, you know, it really, really jives. So it sounds like from what you're telling me, I should really go ahead and, you know, amplify this psychic...
Right. Yes, especially with that mystic rectangle and those other planets. The psychic planets are the outer planets, usually, like the Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. Uranus is very... key for psychic work, and it's also key for astrologers too, and it's right on my midheaven.
Really?
Yeah, and it's conjunct Mercury, so I guess sudden epiphanies out of nowhere that I don't know why I know it, I just know it, and I just go with it.
Fantastic.
Because that's Uranus's energy. It's just like, and it's also very like symbols, you know, seeing symbols really relates to me, and I understand and interpret them. But I also have Pluto conjunct Mercury in the 10th house, which Pluto is going to the other side, going to the Hades and talking to dead people and bringing back the message and telling it.
Yeah, so, I can see that. I don't think I have that particularly there. I don't see that that's... I mean, Pluto is conjunct Saturn in one chart.
Right. So, yeah, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto are the three different psychic planets. And if you have them tied to personal planets and the moon, then you have a psychic ability there, and so really develop it and work with it more.
I will, certainly. Thank you, Dave, and thank you also, Captain, for letting me on the show. And, you know, I did actually promulgate this far and wide just to make sure everybody got to see it.
Yes, he did.
Steve.
So thank you.
Steve?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Stay on the line for a second. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Talk to Steve a little bit about... locational astrology or astrocartography, because I didn't realize that I had intuitive psychic abilities until I moved to this area, and I have some psychic lines that activated when I moved here, and I never had them in San Diego where I grew up. I mean, I may have had some psychic dreams, but I didn't have like waking intuition.
Yeah, when you do move to a location, it can amplify different parts of your talents and bring out, like, if it's on a Neptune line or a psychic line, it can really bring out that location can produce or help amplify those abilities. So, like, when I moved to Newport, Oregon, I have Neptune line right on smack dab on that place, and I had a huge psychic abilities there. And a lot of psychic experiences that happened to me that were very bizarre. But then once they're developed, you can move anywhere and they'll still stay with you.
Well, so I'm getting my comment on that, really, basically. I mean, I've done a lot of relocation charts just lately, and I find it brings out different things. But I do know one thing. My chart was where I was born, which is in England. I had so many interceptions and problems. And then I came here, and my chart has lost all the intercepted planets and signs. And I have Cancer rising with Trans-Neptune on the ascendant. No, it's in Leo, actually. But then and I also have the Moon in the fifth. So I do have it. I think it has increased my psychic ability here. Of course, with Neptune on the cusp of the fourth. I think, you know, that this has been a very good move for me to Los Angeles area, which is, I mean, Valencia is where I live. And I've certainly had much more ability to do what I want to do, which is astrology, than I ever would be able to do in England, that's for sure. Just because my chart is showing me that.
Right. I've seen that when I've helped a lot of people move to different states and across countries because of the chart, and they've all reported positive influences from that. So I do know that works too.
I've had people give me charts recently, though, and I've got a comment on that, and that is that they had, you know, what looked like kind of a good chart with no real issues where they lived, and then they decided they wanted to move somewhere, and they got a lot of interceptions and other things going on, things that they just didn't expect to happen, like big upheavals as well, like with Pluto going into certain houses with a new location. So the converse is true as well.
Right, yes, that's very true. That can happen as well.
I've been looking at your book, by the way, The Forensic Astrology, Solving Crimes of Astrology, and I've been really fascinated with that. And it's another way of looking at these asteroids, because I'm avidly interested in using asteroids in everything I work with. I think they're really incredible. You know, I think because Liz Green was heard to say I'm just pulling the quote up so that it comes out exactly. Where are we now? There we go. Yeah, she said there is a curious synchronicity between the time when the planet is discovered and the emergence in society of values and experiences which the planet represents symbolically. It's as though the planet breaks upon consciousness in both a literal and symbolic way. I can't really answer why Uranus is called Uranus and Neptune Neptune. I can only say it's a mysterious fashion. They get the names right. Well, of course, this also applies to asteroids as well. Like
Correct.
You mentioned earlier on, bam, is right on. Anything happens with a BAM, that's it. That's definitely got BAM involved.
Right.
And there's several others as well. I love asteroids. I think they're amazing. It's just, I can't use asteroids. They go, okay, fine. But it's like saying, hey, here's a picture. I give you all this paint box, but you can only use gray and black or something.
Right, exactly.
That's it, isn't it, right?
Yeah, it's different spices, different colors, different flavors. And it just gets more and more specific. And I don't see how you cannot use them once you understand them. It would be like really a disservice, you know, for me to not use them anymore because I see so much with them. I'm always studying new ways to use them. I'm always researching new asteroids, and I'm really on top of the new ones and keeping them fresh. And it's endless. But it's rewarding, too. I think it's very fun.
I think so. I'm really, really impressed with that. And I've got just one more question. I don't know whether Captain wants me to bring in...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the other thing, right at the top of the program, we're talking about Venus and Jupiter, right, Dave? Remember in the sky?
Oh, right.
And things?
Right.
Well, no, so at the end of July, there was this incredible conjunction, both tropically and also by declination. So what do you think? I mean, what's your take on that?
Oh, the Venus-Jupiter conjunction?
Yeah.
Well, I think a part of it was reevaluating our love life. And part of that was in the configuration chart of, like, the gay marriage thing in America.
Oh, yeah. Right,
that was
yeah.
a huge part of it. They were conjunct at almost the very end. And... So I think that was part of it, but it's also expanding our love. You know, Jupiter is expansion of our love and, you know, embracing bigger and better things. So it was kind of trying to teach us to do that. That's kind of what my take was. It was a very important time and very benefic, you know, very good for people that if it did something in your chart, probably brought a lot of good things in those areas.
Well, it was going through Leo in mine, which in my relocated chart is actually in my ascendant. Oh, not in my ascendant, my first house.
Good. Well,
so I mean, it's really, it's been wonderful. I've met lots of wonderful people, and I've had a very great experience all of this time. Well, particularly the last 2 months have been really, really great.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I just want to ask something. Captain, can you tell me, is this show being recorded so we can listen to it all later?
Yes, this is both live and it is being recorded, so you can go listen to this again.
So I just click on that same link, you know, in the days and weeks to come, and there it's going to be, right?
Right.
Yeah, it'll be on entheoradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/entheoradio, or you can find it on one of our Facebook pages.
On the Facebook pages? Oh, yeah, I've got to go find that. Thank you. That's great. Thanks to both of you. I don't want to monopolize this. I'm sure there are lots of other people who want to call in, and they've got lots of questions. I really value what you told me, Dave, and thank you for allowing me on the show.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, keep listening, and if you come up with another really good question, press 1, and I'll see you as having a question. I can unmute you sooner instead of making you wait a long time. Yeah, if you press 1, it indicates that you want to raise your hand and say something.
Oh, okay,
cool. Okay. I'll do that. Thank you.
All right, you take care now.
Okay.
Dave, are you still there?
Yeah.
So I have a special request. We have someone who's from Mexico who can't actually call in, but he commented at about 3 hours ago on my astrological skyship page about this show. He said, "I lost my Spartan helmet ring. Let's hope I can get it back." I said, "Call in and you can ask a question about 30-minute mark." He says, "I will. Oh, I couldn't call in because we tried and there's no success from Tijuana." So I asked him if we could ask the question on the air. He said, "Please. Thank you very much." He offered to answer in the comment on Facebook if we need any information. So he's listening and he's able to send me text information. But maybe you can help this person locate a lost Spartan helmet ring.
Okay, and then I can only take this one call, and then I have to get off the air just because I have.
Yeah, this will be our last thing.
Okay. Let's
see. So, tell us what you're going to do. Are you going to do a horror rechart on it?
I'm going to do a horror re right now. So, where is my Spartan ring?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just see where I. Okay.
Remember, it's a helmet shape. I guess it's the shape of a Spartan helmet.
Okay.
And the person is in Tijuana.
2 degrees, okay.
Same. I think they're the same time zone as us.
Yeah, they should be. Ring. Sorry, it takes me a few minutes to look at this stuff.
Yeah, no problem. I want to mention to our listeners today that you can contact Dave Campbell through theastrologystore.com. That's theastrologystore.com. And if you're in Glendale, Arizona, please visit the store. He's got some really wonderful T-shirts, every book on astrology, including the book that he wrote, which is called Forensic Astrology. And you can find that book also on Amazon and various other locations. We do appreciate it if you order it from the website, though, theastrologystore.com.
Okay, this is not going to be the best answer that I can give you. I mean, I'm giving you a truthful answer. I just don't think it's what you're going to want to hear.
Okay.
Because the ring shows, this is one of those cases where I don't think you'll ever get it back. The significator is Saturn of the ring, which is in the 12th house of sorrow, and it's also a cadent house, meaning very, very unlikely to find, and sorrow is the house of sorrow, and it's squaring the significator of the person. of the person who lost the ring. So squaring is a very challenging and very a no kind of answer, or not a good answer. Also, conjunct the house that signifies the ring is Pluto, which means death or destroyed, or it's just not coming back. And also, Ceres is in the second house, also signifying the ring. Ceres represents loss, separation, let it go. So this is one of those where I'd say it is truly gone, and it may have been even destroyed by now in some sense.
Oh, wow.
Or smashed, or, you know, I don't think, I'm looking to see if it was stolen, and I don't believe it was. I think it was truly misplaced. But I don't think it's coming back. Sorry to say that, but I really don't see that, especially with the signs that these are signifying. So, but sometimes that's the best answer, is to look to know that you just stop worrying about it. Like my mother did that for years, and I finally did a horary and let it go out of her consciousness so she would let it go. And it really helped her. So, okay. I really thank you for allowing me to be on.
Yeah.
It was really a pleasure and an honor.
I'm just going to one more time remind people to check out the astrology store in Glendale, Arizona, or visit the website, theastrologystore.com. And I really want to have you back on the show sometime.
Okay, because
I think it'd be really fun to answer some questions about the charts of, like, famous villainous people, like maybe Aleister Crowley and Hitler, Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yeah, that would be really fun to do. Yeah.
I don't know. I have a fascination with the occult and some of the occult supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, okay. Dave Campbell. Please, everyone who's listening, check out that book. Dave is a really excellent teacher, and he does share a lot about a new field that may be coming up in. And if you're into the FBI and you're into forensics and crime solving and mystery solving, and Dave is your teacher, and you can start by reading his book.
All right. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for listening to Theo Radio. This is Captain Hugh T. Alchemy signing up, and you can find us on the web at entheoradio.com. You can find us on Facebook in Theo Radio, and you can find us at facebook.com/shamanicherbs. Our other Facebook page is Shamanic Herbs and Entheogens Radio. You'll find our next episodes are up and coming, but they haven't been listed yet. Our episodes do air sporadically, like the magic mushrooms that I eat quite often. And again, I really, really encourage you to write to me to make suggestions for shows. This is absolutely something that is built and designed around your participation as listeners, and we welcome all sorts of people on our show these days. Again, Captain Hugh T. Alchemy, you can reach me at facebook.com, search Hugh T. Alchemy, that's A-L-K-E-M-I, or you can write to me at entheoradio@gmail.com. Once again, signing out. This is the captain speaking. Have a nice, safe journey.